there are a lot of strikes at the moment going on in Iran. This is not the first time this happened. This happened like a few years ago. Do you see something special or different about the recent, the more recent strikes?
Yeah, there have been workers' protests and strikes, especially after the war with Iraq ended, and we had attempts at reconstruction. We had a development of workers' movement and protests and so on. And obviously in the last, say, 10 to 15 years, there have been many occasions where you have an upsurge, which then is suppressed and so on. But what we are seeing now, I think, is unprecedented during this regime's rule, in that you're seeing wide sections of the working class. And so in terms of quantity, it's a lot more strikes taking place. And also in terms of quality, seeing a lot more radical demands coming forward. So in the last few weeks, we've had Haftar, we've had the teachers sit-in. We had two sit-ins, nationwide sit-ins, where the teachers went to the schools, but did not go to the classes to teach. They had slogans that they were demonstrating and so on. You've had the steel workers, the National Steel in Ahvaz. You've had the lorry drivers a bit before that, some workers' protests, and it includes local council workers like cleaners and so on, and also many petrochemical companies and so on. What we haven't seen, and this is the case for most of the time in the past few years, is that the oil workers, who are the most crucial sector of the Iranian working class, haven't been on strike because they are very heavily policed. There's a lot of extra security measures in place in the oil industry so that they cannot be protesting that easily. So that's the one sector of the working class we haven't really seen being going on strike or being on protest.
One of the bigger strikes was the strike of the workers in the sugar factory in Haftapet. What are the conditions for these workers and what are they striking for?
Well, Haftapet is a huge complex which includes everything from plantations where you have the cane. So you have workers who are involved in the agricultural side of the sugar being, the cane being planted and so on, all the way through to where you process the cane and get sugar out of it and make into sugar that could be used in food and so on. So it's a big complex. Obviously, it has lots of land, hectares and hectares of land. And it's got different parts to it, refining and the processing and so on. There are about 3,700 workers who work at Haftapet. And what happened was that in 2006, the tariff on sugar imports was brought down to 0%. And that meant that about 1 million tons of imports came in just 1 year. And this pushed Haftapet into bankruptcy. Then in 2015, it was privatized, but only at about 5% of its true value. This has caused lots of problems. It was the new owners were given huge loans on the basis of that they owned the place. And also they were given foreign currency at the official rate, at the official state rate. And that meant that they've done a lot of, but basically they've been corrupt. They've been doing a lot of currency speculation and fraud and so on. And actually the general manager is in hiding now. And so while just two people who bought it have made a lot of money out of it, for the workers it's meant that the contracts are up in the air. They're uncertain about how long they're employed. And because of the debts that the company now has, they can't get their health insurance. Their wages haven't been paid for 4 months now. And there are lots of problems like this going on. Now, the main demand right now, obviously, there are four of the workers' representatives in jail. So the main demand right now is to have these four people released. But before they were arrested, the main demand was to revoke the privatization, to expropriate the private sector, as the workers called it. And also they don't want it to go back to how it was, the state ownership before. They want it to be run by the workers themselves, either as a workers' council or co-op. So that was the main demand that they came up with. And, of course, they want other things to be sorted out, like the pay and conditions and so on. And of course, the corruption to be dealt with, the people who made huge amounts of money, this is something that comes up in other industries in Iran, where the privatizations that were carried out in the past few years were really corrupt. The factories or the businesses, the companies were sold at a very low value compared to their real value. And a lot of things like asset stripping, getting loans, currency speculation, and so on, were carried on the back of that.
So you've mentioned corruption, and you already mentioned policing of strikes. What is the general answer of the Iranian government to strikes like this?
The general response of the regime is always to be very heavy-handed. They always suppress everything, and they always also say that there is a security, national security issue here. For example, they've done this even with the teachers. The teachers going on strike is causing a national security problem, and that's why they are arrested and treated very badly, because obviously they're causing problems for the country's security. So the first response, the instinct of the regime is to be very repressive, to make these people, the workers and so on, look like they're criminals, that they're enemies of the country and endangering the security of the country. But more recently, they've also adopted other tactics, like trying to set up alternative trade unions. This is what they've done, they've tried to do with the Vahed bus drivers in Tehran, trying to set up a false, fake union in parallel with a real union. They obviously have been making accusations against the reps in Haftar. They've tried to create tension between different sectors of the workers, and Haftar has got workers who are Persian, who are Arab, no law. So they're trying to create tension between the different national groups among the workers. And these are all things that the workers have to be careful about. And so far, they have been managing to keep these intrigues at a very low level, cancelling them out, neutralizing them.
Since in Iran there is almost always some kind of government agency involved, a lot of strikes are seen as directed against the Islamic Republic. Do you think this is actually to some degree the case, that these strikes try to bring down the Islamic Republic?
I don't think at the moment they're doing that, but the regime, the way it responds, does push the workers. They could much. The thing is, either something like 70, more than 70% of the Iranian industry, the Iranian economy, is state owned. So when workers are not paid for several months, it is the state that's doing it. So when you go on strike, automatically the state responds, because you are going against the state. Now, why the state can't pay workers on time and for several months, four, five, six or more months, that's an issue that the state should answer. Why you can't pay your workers? Where's the money going to? There's always money for different types of riot police, intelligence agencies, Basiji, who are these people who mobilize from backward elements in society to suppress any dissent, whether it's women, workers, whatever. The posse around the so-called Revolutionary Guard, the regular army and military. There's always money for all these and various types of religious organizations that are having huge amounts of money, billions and billions of dollars to spend. But when it comes to workers, the state doesn't have money to pay its own workers who are state employees. State work for the state. There's also the other aspect, and that's what we've seen in places like Haftar, is where there has been privatization because of the new owners are somehow related to regime officials or the very top echelons of the regime. They were sold at a very low price compared to the real value, and the workers are paying for all this basically corruption that's going on. So again, when the workers just say, give us our money, give us our wages that we've already worked for several months ago, this is turned into an issue of challenging the regime, trying to overturn the system and so on. But I think so far, a lot of the workers are just asking for their basic demands, you know, to have money they can live on, they can pay for their basic things, for their families, their children, and so on. It's the regime that comes into this. And of course, the more this goes on, the more radicalized the movement is going to become. And we are seeing demands that are much more radical than a few years ago, like the Haftar, the workers are saying that we have the skills. This is something, for example, they said in August, that they have all the skills necessary to run the whole place themselves. They have the expertise. And they're going to run it themselves. If the state doesn't sort out the problem, they will take it over themselves and run it themselves.
What role do you think the U.S., the new imposed U.S. sanctions play in the financial problems of the regime?
I think the sanctions and the new ones that came in earlier this month, which are going to be against the banking system and also the oil industry, are having big effects on the economy, which was already not doing well because of the earlier sanctions. But also you have, on top of that, you have all the corruption, mismanagement, and the general way that the regime runs its industries. And all of these have been now exacerbated by the new sanctions that are coming in. So we've seen the value of the real Iranian, the official Iranian currency fall very much, a huge deal, and this has caused big rise in inflation, especially inflation in terms of food and the basic necessities. And as in these new sanctions will be affecting imports, although officially the Americans say they weren't, but they will, because in terms of banking and also selling oil, it will be all curtailed. And so we are going to see a lot of new protests, new demonstrations, and so on, unless the regime can do something about this. And basically, I think they can't really because of the nature of the regime. It's not there to serve the working class in Iran or the women or the national minorities or young people and so on. So it will be getting worse. Now, what has happened is other countries are not following the American example in terms of sanctions. The European Union countries and Russia and China are all going to stay within the nuclear agreement and are trying to help the regime, but the Americans are very determined to pursue this. Now, we'll have to see to what extent the Europeans can actually come up with a system that circumvents or reduces the effect of these sanctions.
The European Union did not join the ones who reimposed the sanctions. What could the European nations and what could somebody in Europe do to support the striking people in Iran?
I think mainly what something like the Shah Rahmani Action Campaign is looking for is for trade unionists, socialists, or people who are interested in workers' rights and human rights in Iran to put pressure on their own politicians to recognize that there are all these... Iran isn't just the regime. There's more to Iran than just the regime. For example, even The Guardian, which is supposed to be a liberal newspaper, has not covered all these strikes, all these protests by teachers, by Haftar, by the steel workers in Ahvaz, and so on. What they talk about is, Jeremy Hunt, the foreign secretary, has gone to Iran and so on to talk about Yemen, which obviously these are all important issues, but to overlook all these things that are going on, we have is their interest. They don't want to publicize even something like The Guardian. So what we ask is the activists in European countries to put pressure on their politicians, to put pressure on their newspapers and media, to publicize what is going on in Iran, to raise awareness, and for them to pursue whatever means they have, like passing resolutions and so on in their trade union, in their organizations, in their whatever they have, like human rights organizations and so on, to be able to make this an issue where the regime is put under pressure for the right reasons, because it's suppressing the working class, women, national minorities, and the youth and so on.
Is there anything else one should know about these strikes, the recent strikes in Iran, something you haven't mentioned yet?
Well, what we have seen is that, as I said earlier, both in terms of the numbers, the extent, and the radicalizations, these are all becoming very more prominent, and they have echoes of what we had in September, October 1978, because that's when a big strike movement started in Iran, which eventually led to the revolution and the Shah's regime being toppled. Now, this obviously is a long way from that, but it has echoes of that, where there's general discontent, and it obviously starts with basic economic demands, but as it can't be satisfied, then the workers' demand become more radicalized, and they start to involve political demand, which could include things like releasing all political prisoners and all sorts of rights for workers, women, national minorities, and so on. So it is important now for everybody in Europe, or everybody who thinks of themselves as defenders of workers' rights or human rights, to become aware of what is going on and to be able to help from now, so that it can develop and not be suppressed like other previous movements that have happened in the past few years.